Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is Wounds by Michael Longley, read now by Brian McDonough.
Here are two pictures from my father's head. I have kept them like secrets until now. First, the Ulster Division at the Somme, going over the top with "Fuck the Pope, no surrender." A boy about to die, screaming, "Give him one for the Shankill." Wilder than Gurkhas were my father's words of admiration and bewilderment. Next comes this London Scottish padre, resettling kilts with his swagger stick, with a stylish backhand and a prayer, over a landscape of dead buttocks. My father followed him for 50 years. At last, a belated casualty, he said, lead traces flaring till they hurt. "I am dying for king and country, slowly." I touched his hand, his thin head I touched. Now, with military honours of a kind, with his badges, his medals like rainbows, his spinning compass, I bury beside him 3 teenage soldiers, bellies full of bullets and Irish beer, their flies undone. A packet of woodbines I throw in, a Lucifer, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, paralysed as heavy guns put out the night light in a nursery forever. Also a bus conductor's uniform. He collapsed beside his carpet slippers, without a murmur, shot through the head, by a shivering boy who wandered in before they could turn the television down or tidy away the supper dishes. To the children, to a bewildered wife, "I think sorry, missus," was what he said.
Wounds by Michael Longley, 1973, read there by Brian McDonough, councillor for Fingal County Council. Brian, thanks very much for coming into the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you in. What's your response to that poem? Were you familiar with it before?
I wasn't familiar with it before. I think it made its way onto the Leaving Cert probably after I had done it.
Were you familiar with Longley?
I wasn't. I probably wouldn't have had as much familiarity with poems for a long period of time up until kind of recently, where I got back into poetry, you know. So unless I'd done it on the Leaving Cert, or unless it was by Pat Inglesby, I really wouldn't have I wouldn't have known it, you know.
And what is your response to the poem then, reading it just in the last few weeks, the last few days?
It brings back kind of a lot of feeling and a lot of memory of what the impact that, let's call them, for cliche's sake, the Troubles or the violence in the North, because it was something that we grew up being aware of, even in, you know, Dublin. I'm old enough to remember the hunger strikes as a child. I spent a lot of time then in the North later. I think I probably would have had a reasonably traditional Southerner, you know, nationalistic view until I spent a bit more time in the North. And I think it mirrors the impression of the sectarianism of unionism, and yet it kind of evokes two kind of episodes of kind of brutal futility of, you know, against people within the communities.
Yeah.
So it's personalized. I think it's very real, and it's not mawkish, or it's not exploitative.
It's a very compassionate portrayal. I'd agree. Yeah.
So it kind of brought me back to kind of, you know, to spending time in bars in East Belfast, where, you know, at night, where you might be careful about your accent.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and you're out
car registration.
Mixed. Yeah, and I mean, it was, you know, it was casual enough, but I think the situation, you know, it has always been difficult and complex, and for Southerners especially, and you would like to think that that is behind us. And yet you look at Brexit and Trump and you're like, oh, what
that's,
is
that's the other
what's
thing
going
about
on?
The poem. It just seems strangely, eerily topical still, you know. I mean, obviously the allusion is to World War One, you know, the evocation of the violence and the troubles, and things are getting very tense up there at the moment.
I still think that we're a long way away from there. I think, you know, Brexit causes problems, but you're right about the World War One context. It's striking that we're back at an era of looking at the great game again. Yeah, where, you know, Russia, the US, the UK, that kind of jingoism and nationalism is beginning to rear its head in response, in this case, to economic difficulties. So when it's brought down to the personal and that kind of violence and that kind of sacrifice, it kind of puts that kind of nationalism in a context where you're going, it's not always a positive force. Whereas it's something that we would always have looked at, you know, soft nationalism, sport, that kind of thing.
Yeah, cultural,
we enjoy it.
Cultural nationalism.
But it's still nationalism, you know. I mean, we're Irish and we're great. We've, you know, it's and we like it, but I'm not sure that we should take ourselves too seriously. And yet there are deeper issues of fighting against state collusion or state oppression, you know.
Getting back to the poem itself, growing up, you told us you weren't a big poetry reader in your early years, but would your house have been poetry in the house? Would there been literature in the house?
So Mam is a playwright, I read a lot, but I used to read, but it was predominantly was prose, it was stories, it was fact-driven, it was narrative, it was... big American stuff, but Pat Inglesby is a cousin of my mom's, so there was always a Pat Inglesby book in the house, you know. And so I would have had the nodding awareness of our cultural greats in terms of poetry, even Heaney, etc., that, you know, probably pretended to know a bit more, you know, the odd bit of Yeats quote, but it wouldn't have been really part of my everyday experience, but Pat's poems were always kind of different because they were quirky. Put them in the school. I used to meet him selling books, still meet him selling books. And there's always something, there's some gem in there. Everybody loves a Pat Inglesby poem. Not necessarily all the same ones, but there's something you'll find in there. And so I got back into poetry through the spoken word kind of revival or explosion that has happened over the last 10 years. Lucky enough, a friend of mine, Cal Ryan, ran a night called the Brown Bread Mixtape. We did a bit of comedy on it, and I got through that, got to meet and hear Colm Keegan, John Cummins, Aaron Fornoff, Sarah Clancy, Stephen James Smith as well, used to run a night downstairs in the International Bar. And that stage was all kicking off, And actually, my first date with my wife, I brought her along to that because I thought it would make me appear more arty and interesting.
Magician never reveals the secrets.
Well, you know, I mean, too late. Too late. Yeah, you can edit it out if it's. But you know, the power of the performance and the quality of the work of some of the guys, I think, really kind of got me back in a place where it was really mean and stuff. And I probably have a little less time for reading as much of the bulk fiction that I used to. So poetry can be, it's kind of like distilled artistic return rather than sometimes going through a long chunk of literature.
That's a good way of putting it. That's a good way of putting it. Very good. And just Near FM, we've covered the Lingo Festival a few times live, and we would have covered Brown Bread Mixtape, Aaron Fornoff, all the people that you just mentioned.
Lingo was incredible, the work that they did there, and, you know, the people that they've got over. Some of the stuff that John Cummins did in front of music and everything, and it came out an hour into my life, and at that stage I would have been, working as a sales manager, you know, selling computers. So there was a bit of art that had kind of my the portion of my heart that or soul that it was occupied was art had shrunk, and these people came along and kind of
a reawakening.
I know it's cliched as it is. It's kind of like, oh, whoops, all this stuff. And obviously, I mean, I think the economic kick in the head to all of us made as well sort of shake our heads and figure out what we've been doing. You know,
it does kind of get back to the power of art, really. You know, and you're talking about a poem like this where. Michael Longley is memorialising this horrific act of violence, and he's putting into context, you know, an entire conflict, the Troubles, also a greater conflict, World War One. You could also make the argument that a lot of the spoken word stuff now is very political in its outlook, and it's very challenging, and it's very topical and current, you know, as what Michael Longley was doing. I mean, he was addressing whole communities there.
And yet he managed to keep it very, very personal. I mean, you could say that, you know, it's very much the perspective of the side or, you know, of where he was born and all of the everything that was in it. I mean, the victims, when you read about who he's talking about and the incidents, you know, when he's talking about a bus conductor who was killed or murdered because he'd witnessed a... he'd witnessed some arson by the IRA, and he was killed by young people. So it is from a particular perspective, you know. But I think the humanity of it just touches everybody, because that's what happened. And
yeah, he certainly doesn't accuse anyone of anything in the poem, because I mean, if you read it, in the first stanza, it's no surrender, a boy about to die. This is one of the boys who's about to go over the top, a victim. But then at the end of the poem, it's the boy, the victim in the first stanza, who has now become the murderer. You know, so it really poses the question, who are the victims in the poem at all? And the answer is surely everybody.
And there is responsibility amongst both, you know, amongst people where we have that kind of emotive strength to our politics or our nationalism. We have to understand that sometimes these things have consequences.
Brian, yeah, thanks very much for coming in, councillor for Fingal County Council. Delighted to have you in.
Thanks for having me.
We can't forget that while this series celebrates poetry, we're also using poetry as a medium to celebrate important dates in our calendar. The Good Friday Agreement was signed in Belfast on the 10th of April 1998 by the British and Irish governments and endorsed by most of Northern Ireland's political parties. The agreement contained provisions to form a government involving both nationalism and unionism, recognising the legitimacy of both aspirations. However, one of the key provisions was that the parties agreed to collectively use their influence to achieve the decommissioning of militant nationalist and unionist groupings by May of the year 2000. Into late 2001, the Provisional IRA was reluctant to disarm because of an alleged failure by the British government to hold up their end of the bargain. With two deadlines already passed, the crisis hit its climax in July 2001 as David Trimble, the Ulster Unionist Party leader, resigned as First Minister of the power-sharing Northern Ireland Executive in protest against the IRA failure to redeem its pledge to put its weapons completely and verifiably beyond use. After hours of late-night talks, finally, on the 7th of August 2001, the IRA agreed on a method of destroying its arsenal. In September 2005, the IRA finally decommissioned its weapons, laying the ground for a deal that had seemed utterly impossible, the sharing of power between Sinn Féin and the previously hardline Democratic Unionist Party. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
Nearcast.
Nearcast, your community podcast network. Listen to podcasts about society, people, poetry, board games and many other topics. Subscribe to a programme today. Learn more at nearcast.ie and find out how you can get involved.